Tonight, I want to talk about attitudes for healing. Attitudes for healing. And so let me give you an idea of an attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That word mind could very easily have been translated attitude. A spirit of the mind, an attitude, a perspective, a commitment. So let this mind, this attitude be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus thought himself equal with God. Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. But Jesus also said that his prayer is that you are in him, and he is in you, and he's in the Father. God desires us to be one in some way that we don't quite understand. But God loves us so much that God lives in us. We are the temple of God, and God wants Christ to dwell fully in our hearts, and he wants us to be in Jesus, and Jesus to be in us, and Jesus to be in the Father. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, gave away all his fame and all he had, took upon himself the form of a servant. And that's what we all need to do, to become a servant. He who would be chief among you, let him first become the servant of all. Become a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And that's what we need to do, humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God. Put God's words first. Humble ourselves before others, to esteem others greater than ourselves. We need to humble ourselves before God, before God's word, and before God's creation, which are his children. And became obedient unto death. And that's what we need to do. To become obedient unto death. To death to sin. Death to pride. Death to selfishness. We need to die to all these things so we can live unto God through Christ Jesus. And Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He says we should pick up our cross every day and die to these things. We don't physically have to die because he died for us, so we don't have to die. Praise God. He took sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, so we don't have to bear them. But we need to die to self. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to have this mind of being a servant to all and humbling ourselves. So, have this mind which was in Christ. We know 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 tells us we have the mind of Christ. So we have the mind of Christ. So since the mind of Christ took this attitude, anything that does not reflect humility, death to sin, and desire for oneness with God doesn't belong in the mind of Christ. So, tonight, to reinforce that, as we talk about the attitudes for healing, I think sometimes that when we aim for a goal, sometimes we shoot too low. You know, if all you want to do is go, if you're satisfied to go halfway up the hill, maybe you should target the top. And if you don't quite make your goal, at least you're three-quarters of the way up or halfway up. But if you target for the minimum and you miss the minimum, you haven't got what you need. And I'm saying, let's have this attitude that we want everything that God gave us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us have this attitude that we have the mind of Christ. And anything that does not belong in the mind of Christ does not belong in our mind. And what does belong in our mind is desire for oneness with God. That we want to become more and more conformed to the image of his Son. And the image of his Son is the image of God. It says, when you see me, you see the Father. And this desire for humility and death to sin. Let all these be in our mind, for we have the mind of Christ. And let's target a high level for healing. Let's not just simply look that I want to get my body physically healed. And my gosh, everybody wants that. Aren't we better than the unbelievers? Even the unbelievers want their body healed. Let's target something higher. Let's target the kind of attitude Jesus had. Let's target some attitudes for healing that I call before. Well, I want to remind you about the four preps. Anybody here old enough to know about the four preps? One person is as old as I am to know about the four preps. Do I hear two?
Yes.
Okay, I hear three and four. Okay, the rest of you are just babies. Well, the Four Preps was a musical group that was very successful a long time ago, probably at least 20 years ago. Or maybe 120, who knows? Okay? After a while, they all blur together, right? One decade follows another, and pretty soon it'll be 1,000 years celebrating with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're not exactly going to talk about the Four Preps, but I wanted to give you a mnemonic. So, the Four Preps, we're going to talk about the Four Prip, P-R-I-P. Okay? So another PRIP, it's a PRIP, P-R-I-P. We're going to talk about the four P-R-I-P, the four PRIP. Okay? So when you target healing, let's aim really high. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2 basically says that God has commanded the blessings to chase you down. All you have to do is chase God. He's saying, if you are a God chaser, the blessings will chase you down. Too many times we make the mistake of chasing the blessing. We want finances. We want healing. We want joy. We want to have all our needs met. Right? We want fame. We want fortune. We want long life. Those are our blessings. Let's chase the blesser. Let's be a God chaser. And God says, if you chase him, the blessings have already been commanded to chase you down. They will chase you down and overtake you when you're chasing God. Amen?
Amen.
So, in chasing God, we're going to have a high attitude of chasing God called the four PRIP. Okay? The four PRIP. The first one stands for, what does the first one stand for? Oh, yes. I should know that. I wrote this. Perfection. Perfection. We're chasing God, and God is perfect. So if we're chasing God, we're chasing perfection. If we are running towards perfection, we're running away from mistakes, sin, shortcomings, evil. Right? As Pastor Matthew taught so well, if you're going to pursue something, you got to flee from something. You can't have half of it. You can't have half the equation. You must flee from something while you're pursuing something. Let us pursue for perfection and let us flee imperfection. Let's flee sin. Let's flee evil. So we're going to chase perfection because perfection is God. God is perfect. And God is perfect, but we make mistakes. That's very important to remember when you're standing in faith for your healing or for anything. Because after a while, the devil will say, you're doing everything right, and it ain't working. Word of God must not be true. Lady once came here, somebody brought her for healing. Sat down, I talked to her, and I said, well, you know, let's talk about it. I says, what are you doing, you know? She says, I'm doing everything right. I said, okay. I said, you're reading your Bible? Of course I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing everything right. Are you praying? Yeah, I'm praying. I'm doing everything right. So after she said it four or five times, I said, ma'am, I can't help you. If you're doing everything right, I can't help you. So thank you for coming, but I'm not where I can help you because I'm not doing everything right. So she left. You can't help somebody who's doing everything right. You can't help somebody who thinks she's doing everything right. To be helped, somebody must realize, A, they need help. B, they're willing to accept help. And C, they're willing to change. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Am I right?
You're right.
So, in standing for healing, we must remember, God is perfect. We're not. We make mistakes. On the other hand, Jesus paid the price for us to be perfect. Hebrews 10:14 says, with one sacrifice, he has perfected us forever. He has already perfected us. It's part of our salvation package. If you think about it, if your salvation package includes health, healing, protection, everything you need, the power to change all things, to move mountains, to do all these things. Doesn't that sound a little bit perfect? In fact, to me, it sounds a lot perfect. And inside it, it specifically says, for by one sacrifice, Jesus has perfected you. Hebrews 10:14. Now, if we are trying to be Christ-like, we're trying to be perfect, because He's perfect. Therefore, if you're trying to be perfect, it's good to know that Jesus already paid the price for you to be perfect. So when things aren't going right, when things aren't going wrong, when you want to know, what should I do that's right, start with the point of view, God is perfect. I'm making mistakes. What mistakes am I making? And ask the Holy Spirit to show you, check the scriptures, go through your healing manuals, and see what are you doing wrong, or what should you be doing that you're not doing. But if you take the position, I'm doing everything right, and God, I'm just waiting on God, you're not going to get your healing. Mm. We're not waiting on God. We're waiting on God as a servant waits on a customer. We're waiting on God as a servant waits on his master. But we're not sitting back because God is so busy he can't get around to you. Mm. We're not sitting back because God says, I think I'll let this guy wait for a while to teach him a lesson. Or he's not wearing the right color shirt today. No, God is waiting for us to mature to that point where his hands are no longer tied and he can bless you. He's waiting for us to see what we're doing wrong so that when he brings the manifestation, you won't lose it right away by doing the same thing wrong again. If you don't know what you're doing wrong and you get what you want, you're going to lose it. Let's take the lottery, for example. They did a study of people who had won more than $1 million in the lottery. And they found out within, I think it was 3 years, within 3 years, almost all of them were either dead or divorced or broke. Why? Because riches will destroy a fool. And a fool is somebody who doesn't know God. And it's very possible many of these winners don't know God. Maybe some of them do. Didn't say all of them were broke or all of them were divorced. Most of them were. Because they don't know what they were doing wrong before they got the money, so they continue to do it wrong after they get the money. They don't know what they did wrong, why they lost their healing, so when the manifestation comes, they don't know what to stop doing so they won't lose it again. They don't know what they did wrong to get demons in their bodies, so when the demons leave, they keep on doing it and the demons come back in. That's why preparation for cleansing is such an important thing. So, let's strive towards perfection. In fact, Matthew 5:48 tells you that. It's a commandment of God. It's not a suggestion. God doesn't make suggestions to his children. It says in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, sometimes people think I write the stuff, but I don't. I just read it. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can you do that? Because by one sacrifice, Jesus has perfected you. Perfection is yours. All we need to do is set our eyes on it. Galatians 3:1-3 says, don't be so foolish that you act as if you're bewitched. You did not get saved by your own works, by the law. No, you got saved through the Spirit by faith. Now that you're saved, you cannot perfect yourself on your own. Only the Holy Spirit can perfect you. God expects us to move towards perfection. In fact, that's why they call it the glorious church. A church without spot or blemish. Does that sound like a church of perfection? To me, it does. I don't know what you think it means when it says no spot or blemish. And a glorious church, a church full of the glory of God, without imperfections. Don't know what you think it means when it says, when Jesus returns, we shall be like him. But what it means to me is, God wants us to quit sinning and become perfect in Christ. Can't do it on our own. We have to do it in Christ. Amen? So let's set our targets high. Let's be concerned about moving towards God. Let's be concerned about being conformed to the image of his Son and the healing will chase you down and overtake you. Amen? Amen? So we're talking about the four preps. They can't sing. Well, that's not true. They probably sing really loudly, right? Perfection sings. Next one is righteousness. And righteousness sings. The earth will be filled with his righteousness. I'm sure righteousness is going to sing. So the four prips can sing. Righteousness. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's start in verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey? In other words, know you not that whenever you give in to obey somebody and become their servants, his servants you are whom you obey. If you obey the person, you truly become the person's servant. Frankly, a better word is actually slave. A higher level of revelation is really slave. I wouldn't be surprised if the word here, servant, could be translated as slave. And I see my walking Bible encyclopedia is nodding his head. It does translate also as slave. Okay? So you're a slave, you become a slave. If you keep sinning, you become the slave of sin. You keep sinning a particular sin, that demon of that sin becomes your master. Think about that. Whatever that sin is, that demon, that sin becomes your master. And the first thing he wants to do is have a big party and bring in all his friends. Whether of sin unto death, and that demon becomes your master, and his job is to lead you by the nose and pull you towards death. So, if you then, instead of giving into sin, you give into righteousness. Instead of serving sin as a slave, you serve righteousness. What happens then? Well, the obedience of serving righteousness pulls you into righteousness. Let's look at that in verse 19. Let's pick it up in part B. For as you have yielded your members servant to uncleanness, we just saw that, we're talking about that, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, iniquity breeds iniquity. See, God wants us to go from level to level, from glory to glory. You go up to one level of glory, one level of obedience, then God promotes you to the next one. The devil does the same way. You give in to one level of sin, one level of iniquity, and he'll demote you to the next one. And demote you to the next one. I'm sure we can all think back in our younger days when we strayed from the truth and started chasing sin. You could see yourself degrading, going more and more into sin. Within a few years of sinning, you're doing things that you'd never thought of when you first started. I'd be surprised if everybody can't think of one or more occasions of doing that. And if you can't, maybe I should bring you up front and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you so you can share with us. I think with that, everybody suddenly just saw one, right? Okay, nobody needs any revelation in front of the class, right? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We all see the degradation of sin. And of course, there's a beauty to holiness. As you go from level to level, from glory to glory, there's a beauty of holiness that comes in you and over you. That people see, just as there is ugliness to sin. Anybody, you know, ever see an ugly demon? I know that, angels of light can look beautiful, I understand that, but just regular old demons, they you've seen a beautiful one? Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe they can be deceitful and hypnotic and kind of confuse you, but sin, they're ugly. Maybe they can put on powder and make themselves look okay, but demons are ugly because there is an ugliness of sin. So, even as you have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. As you become obedient to the word of God, obedient unto righteousness, it moves you and your flesh towards holiness. the righteousness of God which is in you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're righteous in your spirit. And as you become obedient to the word of God, that righteousness flows out of your spirit and becomes holiness in your flesh. And that's what we want. Holiness in our flesh. For we are the temple of the living God, and God wants a holy temple. See, we have God locked away in our spirit, separated by the veil of our heart. He's in the Holy of Holies inside us. And he's separated from the rest of our being by our hearts. But every once in a while, we wanted him to stick a hand out our finger and touch our foot and heal our foot, or touch our head and heal our heads, or touch our heart. Not the rest of us, just the part that's challenged. And it doesn't work that way. He wants that righteousness to flow out through our heart, fully change our heart, fully change our soul, fully change our minds, fully change our bodies, that we become free of sin, free of sickness, free of disease, free of infirmity, free of death, but living unto righteousness. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. That's what he says in 1 Peter 2:24. For Jesus himself took your sins in his body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, we're dead to sin. Why are we dead to sin? We quote Romans 6:11. We reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Why are we dead to sin? Himself took our sins in his body in the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Should live unto righteousness. He took our sins so we should live unto righteousness. And as you focus on that righteousness, is a byproduct by whose stripes you were healed. But so often we have lived our lives and we've put the by whose stripes you're healed first. We want the healing. And we're saying we're growing up. We're not chasing the healing. We're chasing the healer. We're chasing God. We're chasing his son, Jesus Christ. And as we become conformed to his image, it drives all sickness and disease out of us. So that there's no sickness, no weakness, no infirmity. That we are dependent on no man. We're dependent only on Jesus Christ. And with that kind of an attitude, nothing faces us. We can go anywhere. We can do anything because there's no fear. Because we're dead to sin to live unto righteousness. The Bible says that no curse can affect you unless you allow it. The curse causeless cannot come to rest. No curse of sickness, disease, infirmity. No curse by a witch. No curse by a Satanist. No curse by an Islamist. No curse by extreme Islamists. What do they call this? The Islamic State of whatever? ISIS, right. No curse of ISIS. No curse can affect you unless you give it an opening in the door. Turn your TV on when you go home tonight and listen to the evil reports coming. And some of them will give you details. And as they tell you the details about the people, you'll see the sins in their life. Blatant, obvious sins that once upon a time, people would have been ashamed to put that on the air. Am I telling you the truth? This is a world, I still can't get over this. You know, we look to the Olympics for excellence of humans, what they can do, excellence. And I can't get over the fact, I read in the LA Times, they gave out to these young people from all over the world, in the natural, not in the spiritual, in the natural, the best the world has to offer, coming together to celebrate excellence and being a model. They gave them, when they arrived, 450,000 condoms. 450,000 condoms. That's the world we live in. That sin is so flagrant, they don't even see it. That's 4 condoms a day for every person. And they were not using it but to put on their tennis racket. Okay? Sin is all over. And it doesn't take much to see the sins that people have committed. And God is saying, no, you seek me. I'm perfect. Be perfect, for I am perfect. My son, pay the price that you can be perfect. Be part of the church without spot or wrinkle. Be part of the glorious church. Seek righteousness, And as you chase me, I am righteous. Everything you need will follow, including healing. That's the attitude we need when we're declaring, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We don't want to be declaring, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus while watching pornography on TV. Right? We know we wouldn't do that. Well, it may not be pornography on TV, but it may be something else that's sinful. Right? You know, we say, do a thousand times, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then we pick up our phone and call the neighbor and yell at the neighbor, you know your dogs are making noise and it's 10 o'clock at night. What kind of person are you? I'm blankety blank, 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 and you chew at the neighbor. And then you hang up the phone and go back, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's mixing bitter water and sweet water. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about the four pips. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to believe it. We need to receive it. We need to speak it. We need to live it. We need to move it from our spirits out your entire being. For when we do that, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, lives in you and pumps life into your mortal flesh. You chase righteousness, and that spirit of God in your flesh will bring healing and perfection to your flesh. The next one on the four prips is pride, righteousness. Next one is I, intimacy. Intimacy with God. And I want to call it intimacy with God through humility. You can't have intimacy with God without humility. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can't receive from God without faith. But just as you cannot receive from God without faith, you know, I've ministered to a lot of people over the decades. A lot of Christians. And they're trying to receive from God. You know, almost none of them know where to find the definition of faith in the Bible. They just don't know. You're trying to receive from God by faith. You're using the word faith, but you don't know where it's defined. I'm sure everybody here knows the definition is in Hebrews 11:1. The primary definition is Hebrews 11:1. Okay. The Amplified has a great definition in Hebrews 6:12 also. Okay. No, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You're trying to receive from God through faith, but you don't know the definition of faith. And you're trying to receive your healing, and you can't tell me two healing scriptures, book, chapter, and verse. That tells me that the devil has deceived you. It tells me your brother grew up in a church that didn't focus on the Bible. So let's start changing. Let's start changing, okay? So in the same manner, you can't have intimacy with God without humility. See, Enoch walked with God, which means he was chasing perfection. God is perfection. He was chasing God. Means he was chasing righteousness. Means he was intimate with God. To walk with him, he had to be intimate. But you can't be intimate with God. God won't teach you his ways without meekness. We need meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9 says, God teaches his ways to the meek. When we're sitting there, standing in faith for our healing manifestation, and we've done everything that we need to do, and we're not having success, what we need is God's insight. We need to know God's way. God, what is the way out of this? The answer is not to say, you know, God, I guess God blew it this time, or I guess God didn't really mean it when he said it, or I'm doing everything right, so God must be wrong. I'll get angry at God. No, the answer is humble yourself and say, God, I'm doing everything I know. Show me your way. Remember, I was trying to get rid of a demon, a mocking demon once, and the demon was just really a master at mocking and laughing. And I did everything I knew for like 45 minutes, and this demon kept laughing at me and mocking, saying terrible things, blasphemous things through this man that I was trying to help. He was, by his own words, a potential homicidal maniac. And the fact that he was 6'4" didn't really help the situation much. Okay? So after 45 minutes, I said, Lord, I sought the Lord's way. Lord, what do I do? And he told me. And within 15 seconds, the demon was gone. Demon, man were gone. Okay? Now, if you want to hear the full story, you got to go to SOD3 or Healing School 3. I tell that story in detail there. So, we need God's way. When we're standing for a healing manifestation, and we're doing everything we know to do, and we've gone through the ABC healing manuals, steps to check when you're standing for your healing, hindrances to healing, you've gone through all those, you've looked at the 12 methods of healing, you've done everything, and you don't know what else to do, then you need God's way. And Psalm 25, verse 9 says, it comes with meekness. So, intimacy with God comes through meekness, and we get to that meekness through the fear of the Lord. When we start walking in meekness, the end of that story, Proverbs 22, verse 4, Proverbs 22, verse 4 tells you that with humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Not long life, just simply life. You know, to God, life is life. You're not supposed to have a short life or a long life. You're supposed to live forever. With meekness and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches and honor and life. So with the humility comes the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord. I want you to look up three scriptures. So far I've been doing all the work. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, when we decide to humble ourselves and do things God's way, and we partner that with the fear of the Lord, our respectful reverence and awe, we start to learn wisdom. And that wisdom affects every area of our life. I think that if more people, even here at ABC, had more of the fear of the Lord, a lot of the challenges we go through at ABC would disappear. Now, I can't at this time give you some examples without stepping on toes, and this is not a stepping on your toes night. I know you're all excited and waiting for that, but that will have to be some other time. Okay? This is not a stepping on your toes night. So, with humility, God teaches you His way. I mean, I don't know who you would choose as the person in the Bible who best illustrates somebody who understood the way of God and heard God's voice and worked miracles, signs, and wonders and achieved His calling. But you've got to have Moses in that list. It's got to be a short list, and Moses surely has to be in the list. In my opinion, I mean, of course, we're setting Jesus aside. He's not in the contest, right? To me, it would be Moses. My opinion is Moses. And what does Moses write about himself? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. He was the meekest of all men. You might think that's prideful. It takes a lot of humility to do that because you believe God wants you to do that, to teach people that the way to hear God's voice is through humility. Moses was the meekest of all men. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can have all the facts in our head, but if we don't have a reverential fear and respect of God and His Word, we won't start to understand it. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Let's flip a few pages forward. To Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's go back to Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and let's substitute, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord becomes understanding. Fear of the Lord produces the knowledge of the holy, which gives us understanding. Let's go to Psalms 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Or I can read it to you, okay? Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've seen that before. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So when we fear God, we have both the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And that moves us towards obeying his commandments. And obeying his commandments produces that understanding. Knowledge of the holy. His word is holy. Everything connected with him is holy. When we understand that and we start to do his words, then we get understanding. This wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding, this is God teaching us his way as we become more intimate with him. I'm always taken aback when people tell me, oh, I don't read the Bible, but I'm led by the Spirit of God in really these detailed and amazing ways. You know, I just step back and I take it with a very big grain of salt. Because if you don't study the Bible, if you don't read the Bible, if the Bible is not the focus of your life, I think you're going to have a really difficult time hearing the voice of God. Because we know God through his word. So if you fear God and you want to learn more about God, you will feed on his word. As you feed on his word, you'll gain wisdom, knowledge, and as you execute them, you'll gain understanding. And I said all that as a precursor to James 4:8. James 4:8, which you all know, draw closer to God and he'll draw closer to you. Take a step towards God. He take a step towards you. Wherever you are, take a step towards God, and the blessings you need for that day, for that time, are all available to you. His blessings will continue to come to you every day as you take a step, as you take a step towards him. You don't have to learn everything. Because if we had to learn everything before the blessings come, none of us would get blessed. You don't have to be perfect before the blessings come. Otherwise, none of us would get blessed. It's that desire, the desire to be more like him, the desire for righteousness, the desire to fear and respect God more and more. That's the desire that draws you closer to God, and the blessings start to flow towards you as you keep taking one step. As best as you can, keep taking one step towards God. You know, after God miraculously revealed himself to me because of the prayers of people, nothing to do with me, I was just blessed by people's prayers saved me. After he revealed himself to me and I told him, I'd do anything you say, the only promise I made him, only promise after this miraculous conversion experience, the only promise I made was I would read one line of the Bible a day. That was my commitment. That every day I'd read one line. I specifically said one line and not one verse because I was smart enough to know a verse may be more than one line. Right? One line. And that one line drew me closer and closer to where I am today. I never dreamt that I would be a pastor. As a Christian for decades, I never had anything on my car that would identify me as a Christian. Because I knew all my sins and my faults, and I was afraid that I'd do something wrong and bring a bad reflection upon Christians, upon the Christian ministry. And the thought of being a pastor, that was really terrifying for me. Dear pastor, what if you make a mistake? Well, I'm a pastor now. I make mistakes all the time. But people love me and they forgive me. Right, Walter? Okay? Because it's not me. It's not the pastor. It's not you. It's the Word of God in you. It's the Word of God coming out of you. Amen? Amen. So the four prips. Perfection, righteousness, intimacy. And the last one, anybody? Last big one. Starting with the P. Patience. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Patience. That's it. Patience. Why patience? Oh, why patience? That could go on until you run out of patience. How about Hebrews 6, verse 12? With faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Which promise? All of them. With faith and patience, you'll be here when Jesus returns. With faith and patience, you'll be raptured. With faith and patience, you'll be here for the 1,000 years, millennium. With faith and patience, you get a job. With faith and patience, you get your healing. With faith and patience, you learn more about God. With faith and patience, you can get every promise of God. Because God has given you a promise and made an oath. And by these two things, which cannot change, you can rest assured that with faith and promise, you can have it. How about Hebrews 10:36? Hebrews 10:36. You have need of patience. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you should obtain the promise. After you've done the will of God. See, you think, people think, I do the will of God, and the answer comes. No, you do the will of God, and then you have patience to wait until it manifests. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. When? It doesn't say when. It could be in a minute, a year, 10 years. It could be after the time has expired when you thought you needed it. But God is master over everything, including time. God can bring you the solution when it's too late in the natural, and you still get what you want. And we have a lot of examples of that. Faith with patience. How about Revelation 3 verse 10? Why don't we turn to Revelation 3 verse 10? Make sure you're all still awake. Revelation 3 verse 10. Revelation 3 verse 10. Because you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. That doesn't sound like a very nice hour. But God said, because you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you during that hour. No matter what temptations are coming up on the earth to try the earth, and there are many of them, your patience would see you through it. Because you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. And I want to close with James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. For the trying of your faith works patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire and perfect, lacking nothing. Notice the word perfect is used twice. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God wants us to have this attitude for healing, that we are looking at healing not just as healing of our arm, healing of our big toe, healing of our appendix, but healing is the restoration of our entire being. Spirit, heart, soul, mind, body, every cell, every organ, every system, all the empty spaces in our head and our body, and the words of our mouth, and our works. That's what He wants healed and restored. And that's what you get when you focus on the four prips. Perfection, righteousness, intimacy, true humility, and patience. When you focus on that, by His stripes, you are healed. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And I think it would be really wonderful to go into communion here and just really seal that Word of God deep on the inside of us and just understand how much life there is in the Word of God, and especially in the Word of God coming out of our mouths. Because the Word of God in book form is the Logos of God. That's the written word. But the power is released through our mouths. When we speak the word, it becomes the rhema of God. It's the living word. It's the revelation of the word of God. It's the power of the word of God. As a book sitting on your coffee table or your nightstand is not going to produce that power. Where it produces the power is when we read it out loud, when we speak it, when we affirm the Word of God, because we're setting ourselves in agreement with God and with all that He set forth for us, that we're aligning ourselves with the God of the universe and doing things His way. You know, He had the Bible given to us as a manual to show us how to live these lives that we're living here on earth. How do we live them? How do we think? How do we speak? How do we act? It's all in the Word of God. And that's what we want to reveal and put out there for ourselves and for all those around us. And so now let's take a moment to confess any sins. And then we will accept the Lord's invitation to come to the table. Father, we thank You for the richness of Your Word. We thank You for the gift of that manual that You provided for us to teach us, to show us how we are to live our lives successfully and victoriously. We thank You, Lord, that in Your Word You've shown us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He said, "Take and eat this. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." We thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your Word is true, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, every cell of our body, every fiber of our beings, every organ, every system, every function, inside, outside, all of us, healed, made whole, made well, restored, delivered by the stripes of Jesus, by those 39 stripes, Lord, that You took upon Your body. With each stripe, sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, and pains poured out. You took them all on You, like a magnet attracting every different kind. And as You took them upon Yourself, that means that we do not have them on us. They do not belong on our bodies, for our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. We are the healed of the Lord, for the Word says so, and we, the redeemed, say so. And so we take this broken body of Jesus Christ and now partake of it to receive our wholeness and our healing. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Whenever you partake, do it in remembrance of me. Lord, it is our joy to remember over and over again, to keep it right in front of our faces, right in the midst of our thinking, right in the midst of our hearts and our bodies, knowing what you have done for us, for the sacrifice of your giving your entire body. You didn't hold anything back, but you gave your all for us. This one brand of coffee has this advertisement, good to the last drop. Well, Jesus, you poured out your blood, every drop. And it's good, and it's powerful. And it sealed the old covenant, and it washed away all of our sins. And it established with Abba Daddy the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us, for these times, for these days. Powerful promises that belong to us. Powerful price that you paid for us to have. Your glories, your power, your victory, your authority, and your dominion here on earth. We do remember, Lord Jesus. It is our privilege. It is our joy. And we thank you. We thank you. We honor you. We glorify you. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify you, Jesus. For you are so much bigger than all the little details of our lives here on earth. You are big, and we put on the blinders and we focus on you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For everything we're about is about you, Jesus. As we look to you, as we look upon you, as we focus on you, Jesus, as we do your word, we fulfill that perfect will that you have already designed us for. You have that perfect plan for each one of us. And that's what we all want, Lord. Help us to reach for and achieve that perfect will. For your glory is our way of saying thank you, Jesus. We honor you by partaking together now of your precious blood.